1912. Tafresh Ayin Beis would be 1912. When did we say the Rebbe passed away? What did we just say? He passed away in 1926. Okay, so let's see. Tafresh Ayin Beis, Shem Yishmuel, the first piece on Sukkos. Okay, Yesh Lehizbonin, we need to contemplate. B'mitzvah Sukkah, Sha'amar HaKasuv, Ba'aspecha, Migarancha, Umiakvecha. When is the holiday of Sukkah celebrated? It's celebrated when a person is, it's called Chag HaAsif, the holiday of gathering. So when you gather in from your Goren and your Yekev, you gather in from your threshing floor and from the vats of your winery, right? Meaning it's, we're gathering in all the produce, we're celebrating all of our success in the fields. But the Gemara tells us an interesting thing. What do you make a sukkah out of? Right, what's a sukkah made out of? What's the schach? Psoles goren v'yakev hakasa medaver. You use the psoles, the remnant, whatever's left, a little straw, some stubble, some pieces of wood, whatever you find, the psoles of the goren and the yakev, whatever's left on the threshing floor, whatever's left alongside the vats of wine, that's what you're going to make a sukkah out of. But you're not allowed to use something that's attached to the ground. Right? If you have a branch from a tree that's still attached to the tree, attached to the ground, and you try to pull that on top of your sukkah, it's no good. It can't be mechubar lekarka. It can't be connected to the ground. Okay, so let's try to understand on a deep level what all these concepts mean. What does it mean that I make my sukkah out of the psoles goren v'yakev? Right? After I've crushed my wheat, and I've extracted the kernels, which I'm going to make into bread, and now all I have is straw and stubble threshing for, that's what I'm going to use to make schach. I'm going to build a house for God out of these remnants. What does that mean? Dehine ha-chag nikra chag ha-asif ba-asbicha es ma'asecha min asada. The holiday is called in Shemos Perachav Gimel, it's called the holiday of gathering. When you gather in all of your ma'asecha min asada, all of your work from the field. So what does it mean? What is this gathering that's taking place on Sukkos? V'yadua d'chol inyanei gashmias heimashol v'tzel inyanei ruchnias. The Rebbe tells us we know that anything that's happening in the physical world is a mashal, is hinting, it's a shadow, it's a reflection of something that's happening in the spiritual world. So chevra, we're about to enter the Yom Tov of gathering. So what does that mean? U'vechein muvan d'kamo b'gashmias, just like in an agricultural society, Sukkos was the time where they would bring in all of the success of the year, the produce. She'ozman ha'asifa mikol tevuas ha'sadeh. You gather in all of the produce, all of the grain, all of the success from the field. Kein hu beruchnias. The same thing is true spiritually. She'kol Torah u'mitzvos u'maisim tovim. She'odem misagel kol yimos ha'shana mis'asfin b'chag ha'sukkos. All of my mitzvos and all of my ma'asim tovim, all the good things I did, they're all being gathered and brought together somehow on Sukkos. Now, what am I doing with them? Are we talking about the mitzvos I'm going to do this year? I didn't do those yet. Maybe the mitzvos I did this past year. Right? I mean, this whole period of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkos is sort of the new year, but it's also sort of touching up, putting the finishing touches on last year. So now, all of my mitzvos, after I just went through Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, all of my mitzvos are, so to speak, gathering to me, towards me, in the sukkah. Well, what does that mean? Ukamo begashmius mikode menakin atuvo min apsoles. Just like physically, when a person wants to collect his kernels of wheat, he's going to first what? He's going to be menakin. He's going to clean off. He's going to remove any of the psoles. He's going to remove any of the stubble, the straw, again, the chaff, all the parts that are not, you know, that are not worthwhile, so to speak. And then he takes the part that he wants. After he, you know, peels his corn stalks and throws away all of that extra stuff, he takes the stalks, he takes the produce, and he places it into his storage house, into his otzer. And in fact, the halacha is, if you bring in your produce unprocessed, unrefined, if you don't get rid of the straw and the stubble and all of the chaff, and you bring it into your granary, into your storehouse, right, it's actually petura min hamaiser. You don't have to tithe it in the usual fashion, because that's not considered a normal way to gather it in. You don't keep the junk, you don't keep the garbage. Right? You throw out the garbage and you keep the part that you want. So if you bring it in this unusual way, you actually are exempt from Ma'aser. Sha'derech be'eretz Yisrael lachnisa rak acher nikyona mihamot so atevin. The way to gather it in is after. First, you remove all of the unnecessary parts, and then you take the part that you're actually going to enjoy. You're going to eat. You're going to make food out of. Kein hu beruchnia. So, friends, it's the same thing in spirituality. When we do mitzvahs, sometimes there's things that cling to our mitzvahs. There's parts of the mitzvah that are unrefined. And now, coming out of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, what the Rebbe is going to explain to us, we want to make sure that we take the nicest parts of the mitzvahs. We take the fruits, we take the sustenance, right? And we get rid of all of the peels and all of the shells and all of the husks. We want to leave that all behind. Kein hu beruchnias, shekol Torah u'mitzvos u'maisim tovim. All the Torah that we learn, the mitzvos that we do, the good deeds that we do. Be'im yesh behen eze machshava lo tova u'machsheves chutz she'enu l'shem shemayim. When I do something with ulterior motives, when I bring my biases to the table, and I mix that in with the mitzvah, so that damages the mitzvah. It clings to the mitzvah. It's something dirty on the mitzvah that's so pure and pristine. Zeu kmo motz l'tvua. Again, it's like the straw or the stubble that surrounds the part of the produce that I want to hold on to. Ve'ein machnisen oso la'otzer hashamayim. And the same way that I don't store my grain until I first removed any of its husks or shells, the same thing is true with my mitzvahs. Hashem wants to put my nicest mitzvahs into that otzer in Shemayim, into that storage area in the heavens. But I got to get rid of the parts of the mitzvah that are unrefined. I have to be willing to clean off the mitzvah. The mitzvah is beautiful, but it fell in the mud. I have to wipe off the mud, and then I'll be able to see that the produce is fresh and delicious. Ach b'Rosh Hashanah v'Yom Kippurim, Shereshaam Gemurim Nechtavim V'Nechtamin V'Chulu. So we go through a process of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur to what? To get rid of, to seal in a negative way the Rasha'im. So he explains, what does that mean? It doesn't just mean that bad guys are going to be put in the book of death. It means for every individual. Va'amar kvod kedushas avi admor zatzam. My father told me, Shekamosh Rasham Gemurim Bechlal, just like there are individuals which are entirely wicked, Kein hu bechol prat uprat, bechol ish v'ish, bechol mitzvah u'mitzvah. Every person has a part of himself that's wicked that needs to be destroyed. Every mitzvah has a part of the mitzvah that you did, and this part didn't really belong there. Shekol ish v'ish nidcha chelak harasha mimenu. So Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we're throwing away our garbage. We're throwing away the part of ourself that's unrefined, is unclean, is unhealthy. V'chol mitzvah mitzvah nidcha mimena psoles. We're washing off our mitzvah, so to speak. Ah, so now we start to understand sukkahs. Now, after we've cleansed ourselves, and by extension our actions, on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, so now it's time to what? Start gathering in the produce that you want to bring home. You want to take the fruits of the field. You want to bring it into your life, into your home. Uvechein muvan. She'achar Rosh Hashanah v'Yom Kippurim. She'atorah v'hamitzos u'maisim tovim misnakim en apsoles. Now that I've washed off my Torah, I've washed off my mitzvos, I've washed off my actions. Hishas ha'kosher lachnisan la'otzer ha'shamayim. Now Hashem says, now I'm ready to receive your mitzvos and to put them into a storehouse in Shemayim where they'll be guarded forever and ever. That becomes your eternity. Okay? Makes sense so far? It's a beautiful idea. Ulefi ha'amor. So now, based on this, Shebi Yom HaKippurim Nitaknu ha'mitzvos u'maisim tovim en apsoles. So now that Yom Kippur was this fixing up of all of my mitzvos, now we can understand the very cryptic Medrash. The Medrash says that mitchilas b'riyaso sha'olam, from the beginning of creation, tzofa HaKadosh Baruch Hu ma'aseyin shal tzadikim u'ma'aseyin shal rishon. Hashem already saw in the future, he saw the actions of the righteous, he saw the actions of the wicked. And the Medrash says, vayi erev, and there was night, elu ma'aseyin shal rishon. Vayi boker, there will be a morning, this refers to the ma'aseyin shal tzadikim, the actions of the righteous. Yom echad, right, one day, it's a very strange Medrash. The Medrash says that God looked at the good deeds and God looked at the bad deeds, and then the Medrash says, which one does Hashem like better? Vayera, Vayvoker. And then it says, Yom Echad is Yom Kippur, which somehow is connected to all this. What does it mean? So he explains very simply. When we talk about Ma'aseim Shal Rasha, Ma'aseim Shal Tzadikim, we're not talking about the good things people do and the evil things people do. We're talking about the part of the mitzvah that is good, and the part of the mitzvah that's not so good. I davened, but I was spacing out. I did chesed, but I did it for the wrong reason. I did it for the honor. I did it for the kavod. I did it for a compliment, instead of a genuine desire to help someone else. So says the Medrash, what is Yom Kippur? Yom Echad Vayi'er Vayivoker. Sometimes we're a mix of light and darkness, but Yom Kippur comes to clean up those dark spots of ourself, to polish the part of our soul that's not so refined. Ula Nizkar Le'el Yesh Lefarish. Ma'aseyin Shal Risham Hainu HaMa'asim Tovim Shenasu Impsolas. The actions of the wicked doesn't mean the actions of evil people. It means the actions that good people do, but they come out a little bit imperfect. V'heim Kamo Tohu Vavohu. They need to be washed off. Ach B'yom HaKippurim Nitaken HaKol V'Nasa HaKol Yom Echad. But on Yom Kippur is Yom Echad, where what? Where all the different parts of my life are able to finally get together. Right? I have the good mitzvahs I did, I have the not so good mitzvahs I did. I have the averus I need to be washed away completely. So by the end of Yom Kippur, now I have a nice, you know, package of fruit to bring to the Creator, so to speak. And that's what the sukkah is. The sukkah is bringing that gift basket of all of my clean mitzvahs to Hashem. So now, when it comes to breaking down a stalk of wheat, right? There's different types of psoles. He says, "Hine yeshne mine psoles betfuah." There's motz and there's tevin. Motz is the part that you can't really do anything with it. Tevin, right? Tevin is the stubble, is the straw that can be used for animal food. It could be used maybe to fertilize your plants. Right? The motz is really just the part that needs to just be washed away. You can't really do much with it. Tevin, well, you're not going to eat it. You're not going to cherish it as much as the wheat kernels, which you're going to make into bread for human beings. But tevin has a purpose. You can use it for your animals. You can use it for your field. So what are these two types? What are these two types of husks that surround, so to speak, the kernel of wheat? What do they represent? Hamotz ein mimenu shum to'elis v'zorno solaruch. The motz is the part of the stalk that you just scatter in the wind. It has no value whatsoever. There's nothing to do with it. Sharuach tisa'enu lachutz, that the wind just drives it away. It disappears. V'teven, the straw, afsha be'erech hatvua hupsoles, even though it's considered worthless compared to the tvua, compared to the grain, mikol makom yesh bo tzorech lahachil b'hemto. It has value in the sense that you can give it to your animal. As the pasuk in Yeshaya describes, right? Va'aryeh kabakar yochal teven. A messianic vision that the lion will no longer want to feast on meat, but the lion, like a little sheep, like smaller animals, will be able to eat tevin, to eat some of the straw of the field. Ulishar tzarchim, and to use it for other tzarchim, to use it for other purposes as well. V'chein hu betvua haruchnis. So the Shem Yishmael says the same thing, the same way, is that when you're trying to get to that kernel of wheat, which again is the main thing, but there's different types of what? There's different types of straw and stubble on the outside. So the same thing is true, he says, in Ruchnias. What does that mean? It means that you have the part that you want to drive away completely, and the part that you can try to make something out of. V'cheinu betua haruchnis. Torah mitzvah samayisim tovim. The same thing is true when it comes to the spiritual grain. Yesh psoles shenidcha legamri. There's a part that needs to be totally gotten rid of. Hainu machsheves chutz. That's kind of like the sa'ir la'zazel. Throw it off a cliff. We don't need it at all. V'chein averos shehen kemo motz l'tvua. Kein averos hen klipos l'mitzvos sh'asa ba'ot sh'aver b'yado. Right? There's averos that need to be gotten rid of. And there's mitzvos that you did while you still had an aver in your hand. So the mitzvah got so filthy that the whole thing got ruined. Sometimes you can't just wash it off. Sometimes the whole thing needs to just be thrown out. The Medrash actually compares Esav to being the one who is impacted, who's affected by the straw, by the stubble. In what sense? The Medrash says, a mashal of a person who is hairy, lakavitz, a person who has a lot of hair, and a person who's bald. Shayu'om din al svasagoran, and they're both standing by the threshing floor. Va'ala hamot, and some of the straw starts flying in the air. And what happens? It gets stuck in the one who has a lot of hair. The one who has a lot of hair, it clings to him. It gets stuck in his hair. All the motz starts flying in the air and it lands on the head of the bald fellow. And all he does, he takes a tissue and he wipes right off. Comes right off. It doesn't cling to him. V'nasam yadu al rosho v'aviro. He places his hand on his head and he wipes it right off. So Esav harasha is mislachlich ba'avonos kol yimos hashana. Esav, we know, is the hairy one. Right? He's described in the Chumash as being hairy. Esav, so to speak, gets enmeshed, entangled in his averos. And Yom HaKippurim is not able to help him in the same way. Yaakov Avinu is the bald one, so to speak. The one who's able, says, listen, I also have averos, but I'm able to wash them right off. I'm able to erase them very easily. Yes, Yehuda, what do you want to say? You're driving. Drive carefully.
I'm driving carefully, Rabbi.
Let's hear.
This may be what Rabbi just said. I've just been thinking of something as Rabbi's been speaking, that we know that in everything in Kitzonius, and so when you take the grain out of the chaff, that's that process. But then when you use that chaff for the schach itself, you're like going back to the same experience, and you're showing that you can actually make even more of it ruchnias than you first thought.
Okay, good. So now we have to build exactly. So now that's exactly where the Rebbe's heading. Right? The Shemi Shmuel says, okay, so now let's talk about our sukkah, right? We build the sukkah exactly out of those remnants. And the question now becomes, so why am I making the sukkah, so to speak, out of the tevin, right? I mean, all year round, again, it's animal food. It's interesting. The pasuk that teaches us the concept of sukkahs in connection to Yaakov Avinu, what does the pasuk say in the Chumash? It says that Yaakov went to a place called Sukkos. He made a bayis for himself, and for his animals, he made Sukkos. Interesting. The same food, the tevin that's used for animal food, is now going to be turned into a sukkah. Right, so we have to see. We're taking sort of the animalistic part of ourself, not the part that we bring into the bias, but the part that's still out in the field, so to speak, but we're going to make something more out of it now. We're going to turn it into a Beis Hashem. We're going to turn it into a sukkah. Okay, good. So let's see that. Ach yesh od inyan psoles shikadimion tevin letvua. But well, let's understand one more aspect of how we take the psoles, how we take the straw, and we make something of it. Shirak be'erech tvua nikra psoles. Again, it's only considered lesser compared to the grain, which is the main food. Aval mikol makom yesh tzorech bo. But let's never forget that it's purposeful. It's not nothing. It's not worthless. The motz is the part that you just get rid of completely. But the tevin has a purpose. It's secondary to the grain that you're going to use to bake bread, to the kernels of wheat. But it's still purposeful, and we have to understand what it represents. Every mitzvah also has two aspects to it, a primary aspect and a secondary aspect. They're both important. There's the asiyah hagashmis, there's performing the action itself, and then there's your intention. What were you thinking when you did the mitzvah? Dal yedei maisa hamitzvos begashmias zochin b'hai alma. The Chovas HaLevavos says that through the actions of the mitzvos, the physical acts of the mitzvos, a person is zocha in this world. We'll see what that means. Shu olam agashmi, the physical world. And the kavana, which is the hidden part of the mitzvah, the intention of the mitzvah, zochin ba'olam haba, that a person will reap the rewards for in the next world, which is a hidden world. So revealed actions lead to some type of revealed reward in this world. Hidden intentions are for a hidden reward in the next world. But explains the Shem Yishmuel, that's not really true, because when we do mitzvahs, we don't get rewards in this world at all. We don't get physical rewards in this world. V'nei masha kosov shebemaisa ha-mitzvos, that which the Chovas HaLevavos said, that through the performance of mitzvos, ayidei asiya zochen b'hai alma, that we get rewarded now, ein ha-perish letovas olam hazeh, shu hevel, v'schar mitzvah b'hai alma leka. It can't be that he's talking about a person gets a prize in this world. That makes no sense. The Gemara tells us that the reward for a mitzvah, b'hai alma, in this world, leka, is not to be found. The Gemara in Kedushin. So what does it mean that my actions lead to rewards in this world, and the intentions are saved for the next world? What does that mean? Rak haperish, shezochin b'hai alma, sheyazdamnu liyadu inyanim shemivin oso l'chai olam haba, v'sheyasir mimenu kol moneya milahasik shleimuso. What it means is that when you do a mitzvah, the reward that you get in this world is that Hashem will make it easier for you to continue along that path of doing mitzvahs. Hashem will remove any of the blockages that stop us from achieving perfection. Not that you're going to get the reward in this world, but when you make a good choice, Hashem, mitzvah goreres mitzvah, Hashem makes it that it's easier to make another good choice. And that'll help you to, over time, again, to exponentially increase your reward in the next world. You're not actually getting rewarded in this world. The reward for a mitzvah in this world is that it gets easier to do another mitzvah in this world. As the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva, Shezehu kol inyan ha-yu'udim ha-gashmim. It's a very fundamental question. We say in Shema every day, if you keep Torah and mitzvos, so then I'll make it rain, I'll make the produce, you know, flourish, right? This is the reward for Torah and mitzvos. God gives us some physical rewards in this world. And the Rambam explains, no, it's not that those are the rewards. The rewards is in Olam Haba. But when you do a mitzvah, Hashem will make it easier. You'll have greater success in this world, which will just make it easier for you to have more, you know, headspace and more time and more resources to do more mitzvahs. That's the reward of a mitzvah in this world. So now we understand the essence of the mitzvah is going to be your kavana, the outer shell of the mitzvah, which is of course so purposeful. You can't just think about the mitzvah, you got to do the mitzvah. The outer shell of the mitzvah, so to speak, is the action, which again is secondary only compared to the intention. The gashmi is the physical act of performing the mitzvah. Even though, of course, it's of necessity and itself brings great reward. But compared to the essence of the mitzvah, which is what? The attitude, the mindset. It says Yom Kippur, but that's a typo. It's supposed to say Sukkos. The fact that the intention, which is b'matzpon halev, which is hidden in the recesses of a heart, nechsheves ha'asiyah k'psoles baruch Hu. It makes the action seem like it's what? Like it's of a secondary nature. The essence of the mitzvah, the part that you really store away in the world to come, is the intention. You could have two people standing in shul, both davening from a sitter, and one person is storing beautiful tefillos in Olam Haba, and the other person is more or less spacing out and just saying the words. Now the fact that he's saying the words is something. But that's the tevin. It's purposeful. You can do something with tevin, but that's not the essence. The essence is the inner grain, so to speak. We take the grain and we store it in a safe place. And the tevin, the straw, is gathered simply to be used for more mundane things, for more regular things, like feeding your animals. We take the hidden part of a person, the kavana that goes into a mitzvah, and we save it for Olam Haba. And the chelak asiyah, and the part that what? The part of the physical doing is psolis, is of a secondary nature compared to it. Ma'asvin letzorach Olam Haza. That's only going to roll over to make it easier for you to do more mitzvahs in Olam Haza. V'hinei zeh nikra psolis goren v'yakev haruchnis shemesachin bo hasukah. And yet, it's from that psolis, it's from the parts that are not stored away in the granaries of Olam Haba. It's the part that remains that we try to lift up, we try to make it into a sukkah. We take all of that straw, as the pasuk says in Tehillim Kuf Mem, Sakosa Leroshi Bayom Noshek. Right, you've protected my head, Bayom Noshek, on a day of battle. Vihi Hagana Ruchnis, Umevi Asoli De Chai Olam Haba. In other words, I take the straw and I try to reuse it and try to use it a little bit better, to be able to elevate it to the point that it'll become stored in that silo of Olam Haba. But again, the intention of the mitzvah is stored away right away. The action of the mitzvah will hopefully roll over to other actions, which I'll hopefully be able to do better the second time around, the third time around, the fourth time around. And then eventually I'll refine it enough that it can become part of my Olam Haba. So now, we have one more halacha to deal with. We started off by saying there's a halacha that something that's mechubar lekarka is pasul, right? So we've learned again. There's the part that you bring into your house, the grain, the produce, the part that you're going to enjoy, the part that's good and wholesome and ready to go. You have the part that's a little bit unrefined but can still be used. We try to roll it into a sukkah to try to continue to build with it, to try to use it to access more mitzvahs, which we'll do better next time. There's the part that needs to just be thrown away completely, the motes, it's totally worthless. But now, what about this halacha? Why is it Why is it that I can't use something that's connected to the ground? What does that represent? So he says, "Lefi advar meila yuvan psul mechuber lesachich bo." Why can't you use something attached to the ground? Haynu she'av ha'asiya atzma. Right? Meaning, this is the part that I'm. This is a branch. Right? If I cut the branch, well, then it can be schach, but if it's attached to the ground, it can't be schach. What's the difference? I'm not taking the produce. I'm not using apples for schach. I'm not using I'm not stringing together the kernels of wheat to make schach. I'm taking a branch. If I cut the branch, it's schach, but if it's attached to the ground, it's not schach. Why? What's the difference? Again, it represents the action of the mitzvah. What does attached to the ground mean in terms of the action of a mitzvah? So he says very strong. Look what he says. Very powerful idea. That even the action of the mitzvah, forget the intention, the action of the mitzvah, which a person is rewarded by in this world, in other words, that he has continued opportunities to try to do better mitzvos, he rak b'im ha'isa b'mitzvah ha'hi p'nimius v'nases b'hislavus. But the action itself, also you can further break it down, where the action itself was done with a little bit of, you know, energy. The action itself was energized. Again, my intentions may not have been perfect, but the action itself was a strong action versus a person whose actions are utterly devoid of any energy. If my actions are done with hislavus, with warmth, with passion, oz hi kedimyon tevin ledagon, then it's like the straw compared to the grain. Again, the grain will be put into the silo, into the storage house, stored away for olam haba, and the physical act that you performed will be used again to continue to make a sukkah, to continue to do more in this world. But if your actions, forget the fact that you don't have good intentions, but if the action itself is schleppy, is heavy, is covered in dirt, is heavy, it's dragged down, it's attached to the ground, it's still connected to physicality, you haven't turned the mitzvah into anything spiritual at all, if it's still mechubar lekarka, if your mitzvah is weighed down, if it's attached to the earth, harehu kedimyon mechubar. That type of mitzvah is like a mitzvah that's attached. Even though it comes from the ground, you say it's a branch. What difference does it make if it's attached to the ground? The answer is because you haven't yet, you know, detached it for God. That's why it's a plant. It should be kosher schach. When it's attached to the earth, when it's attached to domeim, to the inanimate earth, when it's attached to dirt, right? Then it's lifeless. You can't make a sukkah out of something that's lifeless. It only becomes, it's ironic, it becomes more alive, so to speak, when you cut it from the ground, right? Because then it's just a tree. It's no longer a tree that's rooted in dirt. You want to detach from the dirt. You want to be disconnected from that lifeless dirt. So now we go through Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and what happens? When we go through Hashanah Yom Kippur, we wipe down, we cleanse, we remove the rust, right? The heaviness of our mitzvos. When we do tshuva, when we say vidoy, when a Jew is passionate, it could be the whole year, every mincha I davened. It could be every single time I davened mincha this whole year, my mincha was so blah. It lacked energy. But my mincha on Yom Kippur, on Rosh Hashanah, I was focused. By Ne'ilah, I was energized. Right? By Kol Nidre, I felt something. So what is that? Says the Rebbe, you know what that is? That's fixing all of the weightiness and the schleppiness of my mitzvahs all year round. Ayidei tshuva im viduyin, shekol ish Yisrael misor b'slavas v'ava. When I feel something, when I feel that fire burning inside me on Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah, you know what that is? It's Hashem giving me the opportunity with the energy of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur to put energy back into all the mitzvahs I did the whole year when they were lacking energy. And you know what that's like? It's a good mashal, Right? Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, when you lift yourself a little bit higher, it's like cutting that branch from the ground. It's like severing it from its earthly roots to allow it to what? To allow it to now be placed on top of the sukkah, to be able to build something for Hashem out of it. That's what it means. Umi'ata hanim shel matim lamashal, shehavoda b'matzpon, shekedimyon hadagon pnimiyas hatzemach, machnisen osa la'otzer mishumar l'chay alam haba, v'amotz zoren laruach, v'nidbak b'roshel shel esav. So now the mashal is so beautiful. Again, you have the grain, you have the part that's going to be used for sustenance for a human being, that goes right away into the storehouse. That goes into Olam Haba. You have the mot, you have the part of the plant that needs to be got part, get up to Tevin. The Tevin represents the part that's of a secondary nature, but if used properly, can actually be can be built into something beautiful. And he says, that's what we find about Esav. That Esav really is the one who, so to speak, carries away our Averos. As the Medrash says, on the Pasuk, V'nosa ha-sa'ir elav eskol avonosam, that the sa'ir la-zazel, the goat that's thrown off the cliff, is going to carry away all of their averos. The Medrash says, sa'ir, who's the sa'ir? Who's the sa'ir? Is that Esav? Because it says about Esav that Esav is an ish sa'ir. Eskol avonosam, it'll carry as avonosam. The Medrash says, avonos tam, the avonos of Yaakov ish tam, Yoshev Ovalim. That Esav carries away our averos. We cleanse that part of ourself that's a rasha on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And we take the part of ourself that's perfectly good and we store it away for all of Haba. But then the areas that still need to be touched up, that's what we're working on in Sukkos. U'mechelke ha-gashmias shebasiyas ha-mitzvah, mizeh nasa sukkah ruchnis. The gashmias, the actions of the mitzvah. The kavanah is stored away, but the actions that could have been done a little better, right? I first cut the roots from the earthliness on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Now it's no longer mechuber lekarka, and now I can start building it into a sukkah. Lahagin ulezachus ba, through that to be able to make something of it, to build something of it, and to be successful with it. Okay, last paragraph for today. Valpia dvar me'ela. So now with this, friends, we come to one other secret about the sukkah. It says in one of the tefillos. And Rabbeinu Bachaye writes about it in his Kara Kemach, which is an encyclopedia of Jewish ideas. Shal yidei mitzvah sukkah zochin leruach hakodesh. Somehow sukkah is connected to what? To the divine spirit, to prophecy, ruach hakodesh. Ki lashon sukkah hu re'iyah. Right? Sukkah is connected to the word for seeing. It gives a person broader vision. As it says in Bereishis Perek Yotes, it says that Avram Avinu went to look out over Sodom, Vayashkev, and the Unkelis, the Targum, the Aramaic translation is Ve'istake, that he glanced, he looked, Vayashkev, he peered. He had a broad vision. He looked out over Sodom, right, as Sodom was being overturned, Vayashkev. He saw the ruins of Sodom. So Vayashkev means what? To look. So Sukkah gives a person vision. Rav Avram Zvi Kluger writes in one of his Svarim, he says, the only direction a Jew can look in the sukkah is up. The sukkah, you're surrounded on all sides. The only way to look is up. A person lifts their eyes towards the Shemayim, and he's able to see things. Uke'ein de'isor, like Rashi writes in Parshas Noach, that Sarah is called, and the Parshas Noach, Yiska. Rashi explains, Shesocha b'ruach ha-kodesh. Sarah was a balas ruach ha-kodesh. So the sukkah gives a person perspective. What does that mean? How does a sukkah give a person perspective? The 248 mitzvos corresponding to our 248 limbs also correspond, as it were, to the 248 limbs of the king, the 248 parts of Hashem, even though Hashem has no parts and no body parts, certainly. But through the performance of each mitzvah, kol mitzvah, haisa nefesh sricha lidabek belokim chayim uleshov chayim. The goal is that with each mitzvah that I do, I attach myself more and more to a Kaddish Baruch Hu till I feel that I'm standing in front of Hashem, that I'm able to see Hashem, as it were. My body becomes a microcosm of, again, the divine will expressed through those 248 mitzvahs or limbs. Achachluda sha'ala mitzvah, and the rust, the part of the mitzvah that's been covered over. Right, hainu mipas she'inenu nasis b'tarasa k'ra'oi, because it hasn't been performed properly, mecha ora, so it diminishes that light. But on Sukkot, coming out of Hashanah Yom Kippur, We cleaned off our mitzvos. We took the parts that are perfect and we stored them away. And now we take the parts that need a little bit more fixing. We build it into a sukkah. Valkein besukkis, shekol atzmihi acher nikayon min achaluda. So sukkis, which comes after, again, the rinsing, the cleansing, the washing off of Yom Kippur, shuv meviasa l'ruach hakodesh. Then I can start making those points of connection to Hashem, and it becomes clear to me that the only direction that I want to see in life is up. I want to look up towards the Shemayim. I want to look towards the Tzchach above me. And as I look at that Tzchach, my eyes become open to see deeper. Right? Sukkah, a lashon of re'iyah, a lashon of ruach hakodesh. I start to see the way that Jewish eyes are supposed to see, to understand the world in a deeper way. And I've purified my entire being by entering into the sukkah. Okay, so Chaver, this is the story, this is the secret of the sukkah, which is made from the psoles garen v'yekev. Again, if all year round the psoles garen v'yekev is, it's just animal food, you throw it in the corner of your field, maybe to fertilize your field a little bit. But during these days, we believe that we can take even the shirayim of our mitzvos and make it into a house for Hashem. The precondition is, you got to make sure it's not mechuber lakarka. You got to at least cut it free from the earth, so it's no longer weighed down by the minerals, by the earth, by the dirt. But once you lift it up, once you cut it free from the dirt, then you could start making it into a sukkah. And again, like he said, mitzvah goreres mitzvah, you're zochet to continued success b'hai alma, and then hopefully you'll continue to produce the quality produce that you can store away for olam haba. All right, so these are the words of the Shem Yishmol. Very beautiful ideas.